we'll move on to the elementary principal's report. Ms. Khan.
I have nothing to add. Do you guys have any questions?
Yeah, you said that you had reached out to the state for guidance on how to approach our absenteeism.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Did they come back with anything?
Nothing.
Nothing. No, no. Response. Cricket.
There's no response. There's no, we're having difficulties in a couple areas. One of the areas is that some of our students that with the Alaska Reads Act and some of our students that are absent, that they're missing the core instruction, but they're also missing their intervention instruction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you saw the numbers that we have about, we had over 51 last month that were in the 10 to 15% range of absenteeism, but there's nothing that anybody's doing. There's also no guidance as far as how much is too much before you can't refer to special education if you feel mm-hmm. that your child is having some sort of your child has a disability. Where is that and what does that look like? But there is nothing right now in the state of Alaska.
That's tough. That's a tough position to be in. Are other districts echoing this too?
They are. They're seeing high absenteeism, and there's at what point, I guess when you're looking at it, at what point when a student, and they have, has missed about 35% of second grade, and how we don't want to retain them at, you know, in second grade. There's repercussions there, and it we're looking at the graduation rate. But if they've missed 35% of that core instruction, that also means they've missed 35% of those interventions. So how do we find that happy medium? People deserve to go on vacations. We live in a community where this is what we do. And the fishermen have come in and their only time off, and the airline tickets are pretty cheap in January and February. And so how do we make that balance? Yeah, good question.
Okay. Any other questions for Heather? Okay, thank you. All right, we'll move on to middle school, high school report. Mr. Kane.
I don't have a whole lot to add either. I'm making it up for any questions that you have on my report. I was highlighted. I don't know why.
I did have a question about that section. Can you elaborate a little more on what you guys are looking at?
Well, we're looking at a situation, I mean, for lack of a better way to describe it, when there's no activities for the middle schoolers to participate at the end of the year, they suddenly tank on their grades. And then they come into high school not having the proper skill set to do the classes that we need to do in high school. And therefore, we end up doing a lot of remediation in high school classes in high school that we would like to avoid. So by adding a little caveat to the eligibility policy saying eighth graders, you got to pass your four classes before you come into high school to be eligible when you arrive, that's the goal we would like to implement, thereby giving them a little bit of a carrot with a stick attached to get them into high school better skilled. That's our goal there.
I feel like that was a thing of the past.
It has been different places from before, but it just, I could see it happening and I was a little distressed by it. So Jamie and I talked about it. Felt like this would be something we could implement. And I've already told the kids that we're looking at it very hard. So they've been forewarned. So any other questions I can answer? The only thing else I would add is that the admin team is very legal and we work well together. My teaching staff is incredible. It's quite the honor to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We know Jamie's traveling.
He did his online.
Oh, okay.
And if he wants to speak.
Okay. Hi, gang.
Hello.
Hello. I've got my report in there, but I'll just go over a couple things because I know it was added late to your guys' agenda piece. But just wanted to recognize our high school basketball team. Our boys were inducted into the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame recently for the Trajan Langdon Award. For their leadership and sportsmanship and inspiration. So congratulations to that team. Just finishing up middle school Native Youth Olympics and middle school volleyball with a lot of kids participating, which is great. I think the middle school was pretty empty on Friday and they did really well. Middle school track and field will be starting April 23rd. And Ms. Khan, I don't know if you want to elaborate, but hopefully it was good. And the elementary teachers we did have through our relationship with Sea Alaska Heritage in Alaska, we were able to do Native Youth Olympics Day with our elementary kids and middle school kids. We had two coaches from Juneau that came down and spent 2 days with our students. It was great. This weekend, you will see quite a bit of students around town. We are hosting the Region 5 Art Festival in Petersburg. So it'll be great Sunday evening at 6:30. Anyone who is interested is welcome to come to the silent auction and art show at the high school gymnasium. And so we will also give out our art awards there and come and see what the kids have been making in their art classes and their workshops. And thank you to Lisa Adams and Ashley Lohr for getting all those courses ready. And we're going to have about 100, 120 kids in town because we also have our first home baseball games this weekend coming up. So pretty cool on having a lot of stuff in town. Sorry, teachers that are going to be learning about science of reading. We're going to have some fun back here too. So, and then scheduling for next fall, I know I've been getting a lot of questions about what activities will look like. All depends on what our budget is. And I know it is not the prettiest thing, but that is okay. We will adjust and be creative, working on trying to get as many home events as possible, creating relationships with other ADs. But this past year, doing some data, we have about 39 school weeks and we will have 24 home weekends of events. And that's good for our community, our students, the families getting to watch their kids. And we had a total of 59 home basketball games this year with all the tournaments hosting here. So pretty fun, pretty keeping the kids busy, trying to keep them academically engaged as well. So that's that. I am actually returning from our spring activity director meetings, trying to plan for the future. And we will see how that goes. So questions for me.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome.
Next, we'll move on to school board committee reports. Katie, crisis?
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay. Curriculum?
Yeah, we have it's on the agenda.
Yeah.
And we had a meeting on Friday.
We didn't.
Sorry, I couldn't make it. Hope it went well.
And facilities, probably not. Okay. Negotiations, which we'll be talking to the board later about as a whole. Policy?
We have not met.
Okay. And technology? Okay. And wellness. You guys have something coming up, I think, don't you?
Yeah, the teen health fair is coming up on May 3rd. And then we have another wellness meeting after that.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
May 3rd.
Yep. Okay. May 3rd. It's Friday. Ginger Evans is kind of heading all that up. And it's, she's doing a good job. Pulling together some good resources for our team.
So next, something super exciting to, it's already been making the rounds of the news, but AAESP, the National Distinguished Principal for 2024. Stedman Elementary School Principal Heather Kahn was named the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals National Distinguished Principal for 2024.
Yeah.
Yay. I'll go ahead and read this, that Heather Kahn was nominated and selected through a statewide search process conducted by the Alaska Association of Elementary School Principals. Ms. Kahn is a fourth generation Alaskan and lifelong resident of Petersburg. She graduated from the University of Alaska Southeast with a Master's of Elementary Education and Special Education and went on to receive her Master's of Education in Educational Leadership from the University of Alaska Southeast in 2015. She is currently pursuing a PhD in school psychology. Ms. Kahn began her career as a lead teacher on the Lummi Indian Reservation at a Head Start. She taught at Clinkett and Haida Head Start in Petersburg and has taught in many different self-contained programs. Kahn has been at Stedman Elementary since 2015, serving as a fourth grade teacher and special education teacher before becoming principal in 2019. Ms. Khan is a true educational and community leader. In addition to her leadership in the Petersburg School District, she has previously served as a board member on the Viking Swim Club, the Community Advisory Board, and is currently serving as a board member of the Petersburg Medical Center. She also serves her community as a member of the Petersburg Indian Association Council. Ms. Khan exemplifies what it means to be dedicated to student learning and her district. Petersburg School District Superintendent Erica Klupp-Painter shares, Ms. Khan is so deserving of this award. Her skilled leadership, compassionate heart, and incredible work ethic are beyond compare. Khan will be traveling to Washington, D.C. in October of 2024 for 2 days of activities planned to honor and bring well-deserved recognition to the elementary administrators selected by their respective states. Congratulations, Heather, and we are very glad to have you on the team.
We're nominating her for the national award.
Good.
So, she should be a high competitor.
All right, we'll move on to, we don't have any old business, so we'll move right into new business, which is 17.1 is our public hearing on Indian education. The public will have an opportunity to comment on the Indian Education Grant. The 2024-25 Indian Education allocation will be approximately $29,000. This money is used to fund a small portion of the Indian Ed Coordinator Jamie Cabral, and there's also a travel budget to supplement the cultural trip to Mount Edgecombe for Elizabeth Paradovich celebration, and this item is subject to an open hearing. So I will go ahead and open it up to an open hearing if anybody would like to testify.
And Jamie could speak to the, okay. He has some, if he's still.
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We're good. Yeah. Got to meet and kind of give you a little bit of history of the our PING group, our Petersburg Indigenous Native group, started back in 2017, where we kind of created a plan and worked with Mount Edgecombe, Sea Alaska, Tlingit Haida, Sheldon Jackson Museum, just kind of getting the kids back to their cultural roots. And it is super successful with that whole piece. And then we had the time of COVID, which we don't need to get into detail, that kind of shut that whole partnership with Mount Edgecombe down, just a little bit of moving the kids around, which then made us move to Native Youth Olympics. Meeting with our committee and kind of seeing where NYOS has gone, it can kind of be a self-sufficient program now, and it's growing rapidly. With how many participants we have in that. And it's a huge cultural piece, which they did 2 weeks ago when we're in Juneau for the traditional games. So I think the group would like to move to focus back on that secondary group again, kind of looking at post-secondary school, what kind of scholarships they have available to our Native American, Native Alaskan students. And that partnership is still there. And we are going to take advantage of that for next year for Cultural Week. With Mount Edgecombe, where they get to learn a lot about all of the Alaska Native cultures. And then we do our tour with UAS, Tlingit Haida and Juneau. We meet with Sea Alaska as well on all the summer programs. Our contact at Sea Alaska with Sherry Paul has been huge and growing now with opportunities for students to have summer camps. And we have a few students that have taken advantage of that, getting kind of like all their expenses paid to do a cultural summer camp, a youth camp, leadership camp, CTE information. So that is our plan for next year for taking our Native Alaskan, Native American students back on that tour to see what's available to them in the future. So.
Okay, question. Thank you. Anybody, do we have any questions or anybody else would like to testify? Okay, I'll close the public hearing. Next, we'll move on to 17.2, which is an action item, CTE and Fine Arts Curriculum Adoption. Principal King will provide a brief overview of the CTE Fine Arts Curriculum. Prior to the board adopting the curriculum, the school board held a work session on Friday, April 12th, with an in-depth presentation of the curriculum documents.
What we attempted to do with their group and did a very good job. I want to compliment the CTE committee, which is on that page right there. We wanted to produce a curriculum document for CTE and Fine Arts that was more accessible to the public, to parents, to students, and to assist any teachers that come in to see exactly what direction we want classes to take. part of the design was to make sure that we added courses in that we may be able to teach at some point in time and during the rotation of our courses over the years. And we encouraged all of our participants on the writing committee to, you know, look into the future a little bit and say, if I develop this program to such and such extent, would I have the necessary coursework in place? As this is a living document, we still have a couple of courses that are being designed at the moment. Construction course for the CPE program, because we're looking at some grants and some other things that might allow Mr. Owens to get the training and also lead the charge as we try to build a tiny home for in the district. So that was one of the things. Another thing is we're looking at a couple of other things. So Miss Winterstein is the middle school drama course as an elective that she might be able to offer down there. Those things are not in the document at the moment, but they will be added at a later date. And the best thing about this is we meet some criteria here in allowing our public to see the document. And when they sit down and look at it, they can actually know what's in the class. And that's the goal. It is relatively long.
130 pages.
A chunk of that is all the standards that go with it at the end. We have the CTE standards, the ARC standards, and the cultural standards in the rear end of the document there. So is there any questions I can answer in general? And I know it's all been completely read by now, so there's no problem.
There's some fun courses.
Yeah, there is a lot of great offerings.
The teacher writers on this did an exceptional job.
Thank you. Okay. Any other questions, comments? I'll make a motion to adopt the CTE Fine Arts curriculum as presented. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Okay. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Yeah. Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmlin?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Mary Case?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Next, we move on to our draft budget for fiscal year 2025. This is the first draft of the fiscal year budget presented to the board, and there will be an opportunity for public comment.
So yeah, feel free to look at the screen. Don't have to look at me. So yeah, this is just a draft budget for fiscal year 25 for our general fund operating budget for Petersburg School District. I don't think in the past that it's been done as early as April, but we really want to provide as much opportunity for board and public discussion and comment and as much transparency as possible. Those things are always a good idea, but even more so when we're talking about making cuts. You know, people really want to have a say in what their children and their community's education looks like. Looking forward to getting input from the board, especially. So looking at our enrollment, we're always looking at these and always updating them. Our enrollment that we're projecting for fiscal year 25 is 454 and change students, 454.5 enrollment. This is down from fiscal year 24, which we had funding based on 468.6, so just 0.5 less than what we had there. That obviously plays a big part in our funding from the state, but also our local contribution can be affected by that, which we don't always talk about because we haven't been at the max. But as we're trying to get funding to the max, that max local contribution is dependent on what the state contribution is. So you know, the more students they have or the higher the BSA, then the more our state foundation funding is and the more that the borough can also contribute in turn. So these enrollment numbers are a big part of what make up our revenue numbers. So this is just a summary page and it'll appear back up on the screen at least one more time, I think a couple more times, so we can tie back into the whole summary of the budget. But this is a summary of about the beginning fund balance. And just for anyone listening tonight or anyone here also, I do want to make note that the original document that was attached to the agenda that then got corrected did have a beginning fund balance that was based on projections. I haven't done a spring budget revision for fiscal year 24 yet, and I haven't totally fleshed that out, so I realized I should be using the ending fund balance from fiscal year 24 from our winter budget revision. So we did make that correction, but if anyone got online and downloaded it beforehand, you might be hearing different fund balance numbers tonight from what you maybe looked at or what you have. Just know that that is corrected online, and you can get the updated version with the fund balances that are based off of our winter budget revision for fiscal year 24. Since the fiscal year 24 ending budget is in the beginning of fiscal, the fund balance for fiscal year 25. So we have a beginning fund balance budgeted for fiscal year 25 right now of $1,322,235. As I said, that was lower on what I was originally released, and that's because of some things that we do know, but that are going to be decreasing the fund balance. So increase expenditures or decrease revenue. Hopefully we'll have some savings that I haven't found yet to help offset that. I do anticipate and haven't calculated what we might have for savings. Might be able to reduce the expenditure budget for maybe utilities because it was a more mild winter. But overall, I'm hoping to offset most of the increases that I'll have to bring forward in a spring revision for fiscal year 24 budget. But overall, I do still anticipate the beginning fund balance for fiscal year 25 being lower than what's being presented tonight. But again, I just want to use what was the most recently passed in a revision. So, but to note some of those things that will be reducing that beginning fund balance for fiscal year 25, some things we do know are two intensive students that we thought would be certified by the state were not, so we did not receive intensive funding for them. That is a total of $140,268 in revenue that will have to be reduced in the spring revision of fiscal year 24 budget. Moving expenses of $20,000 for the incoming superintendent, that isn't built into our fiscal year 24 budget yet. An increase to sub costs of at least, just looking yesterday, at least $108,000 of over $8,000 in benefits. And that's unanticipated and not budgeted for subs that we had this year in the general fund. We've had a ton of travel, right, that was grant funded, and so those subs also are funded out of those grants, but this is general fund unexpected subs for long-term leaves and long-term subs. There could be some other overages or other adjustments that need to be made, but hopefully we'll also find some savings to help offset those things. But looking at revenues now, our total revenue for this first draft of our fiscal year 25 budget is $9,855,834. That is significantly less than what we received this year for our total revenue in our current budget from our winter revision. Our total expenditures in this first draft of the budget is $10,159,367. That is over $300,000 more than the revenue, so that requires the district to use over $300,000 of the fund balance to offset the shortcomings of revenue in this first draft of the fiscal year 25 budget. So we're going to dive into revenue first, and then we'll go over to expenditures. As I said, our overall revenue is $9.85 million about. This is based on a 450 student count for next year. And then we're also basing this off of 18 intensive students. This year we received funding for 21 intensive students, so that's another decrease to funding. And as I mentioned early, just two intensive students this year was that didn't get certified that we were counting on more than $140,000, so losing three more for next year possibly will also significantly reduce our revenue from the state. So overall, this draft of the budget has a reduction in foundation funding from $952,407 for fiscal year 25 at a total foundation funding $5,575,817. And that's a decrease from our fiscal year 24 total foundation funding of $6,528,224. We also have budgeted for an increase borough funding of $400,000 from fiscal year 24 to a total local contribution in fiscal year 25 of $3.4 million, which we do anticipate being the cap. If we get funding outside, like on top of the BSA, but it's not built into the BSA, then that local contribution max doesn't go up. It's only if it's in the BSA. We do not anticipate that it will be in the BSA at this point in this legislative session. So we're not, none of the scenarios that you'll see tonight will have anything built into the BSA, only on top of it. So we are fairly confident that about $3.4 million will be the max contribution from the borough. That is built into their first draft of their budget that will be presented at 3 meetings, 2 in May, and then the first one in June. They will have opportunity for a public comment if you would like. We encourage you to advocate for them. Anyone who's listening tonight, advocate for them funding us to the max local contribution. It's not a guarantee, and they also are facing a tough budget, right, because of inflation, and it's they've got lots of departments and needs to balance, so it's not a guarantee, but we're hopeful that we will get that $3.4 million, and we're basing our first draft budget off of that. This does utilize us to use $303,533 of our fund balance in fiscal year 25 in this first draft. Also revenue, we have budgeted an increase in investment revenue from $700,000 to $30,000. I just at the beginning of this month made the investment with AmLIP, moved our money from our savings account and 3-month CD over to AmLIP, Alaska Municipal League investment pool. So we should see some great increases in revenue. And, you know, anytime that we can, AmLIP it's such a great option for school districts and municipalities. Most of our investments will be sitting an investment series that we have access to same day. So it's very liquid. And then the rest of it is in one that's available within like 2 to 3 business days. So in both scenarios, very available and liquid, which is great with everything that we're facing. But while we can, we can make some money on it. So I am excited about that little bit of increased revenue. $38,000 really does make a difference in our budget, especially as we're looking at making cuts and, you know, being creative and trying to make things fit. That's not nothing in our budget. It really does help. We are seeing a decrease in E-rate revenue, but this isn't really going to be felt because it's also offset as a decrease in our expenditures for E-rate. Our technology director, John Poop-Painter, has found a alternative firewall service provider that is cheaper. They are not E-rate reimbursement eligible, the vendor though, so we're not E-rate eligible for it, but overall what we're paying for the service, even though they're not, E-rate won't be paying a share of it, it's still cheaper for the district, so great option for us. So it's not really a realized us there. Also notable, but something maybe a lot of people don't think about or know, we're also seeing an increase in state PERS, TERS on behalf rates for fiscal year 25. Those do fluctuate from year to year. They can go up or down. But for fiscal year 25, they are increasing for PERS from 3.01% to 4.76%. And for TERS retirement from 12.96% to 16.03% respectively. That's encouraging, it's just offset in our budget. We have to recognize it as an expenditure and revenue, but we don't see the money. It just goes straight into our employees' retirement accounts, and it's a great benefit that we just have to recognize on our books. So you'll see the exact opposite when we're talking about expenditures lately. But it's encouraging that that's something positive for employees when we're faced with so many things that have been negative and difficult lately. So. The other piece of our revenue is our local revenue, and specifically other local revenue. So this is not like the borough contribution. And this has previously been what rolls up in 040 is all these other ones listed here. And previously we've just been using codes 040, 043, and 044. I have added to start in fiscal year 25 to track things also under 045 and 046. So previously, student tech fees and the like facility rental fees would be tracked under other revenue items, and they were more like grouped. I think it'll be really useful and important moving forward to have them broken out so that we can better track these revenue streams, especially when we're looking at, reducing activities or increasing activity fees, or if we're looking at increasing student tech fees or student their elective class fees, like, okay, well, how much revenue are we receiving right now? And what will that mean if we increase it by this percent? And how much will that help offset increased costs to that certain program? So just as we're, dealing with our fiscal cliff here at Petersburg School District, I think this will all be really helpful information. So I've broken this out into more subcategories for fiscal year 25 moving forward. Just think it'll be good data to have. Never hurts to have more data. Overall, though, we are budgeting for fiscal year 25 less in local revenue than we have budgeted for fiscal year 24. In my spring revision, I will be reducing that number in our fiscal year 24 budget. We've just over budgeted. It's not been, I think, just any one thing, but I have been looking at even what fees aren't collected and received from students yet, and it doesn't look like we're going to be getting to where we budgeted for this year. So I want to budget more conservatively next year, more in line with what I'm seeing this year for fees collected and uncollected on our schedules that our secretaries keep, and kind of get in line with looking at more of our actuals for this year and budgeting more based on that rather than the budget from fiscal year 24. So this is an overview pie chart of our revenue for our general fund operating budget, to kind of get a look at what different revenue sources, how much of the pie they make up. Our state foundation funding in this draft budget makes up less of the pie, and our borough contribution is making up more. But even still, we have less revenue than budgeted and being realized in fiscal year 24, even with an increase from the borough in this draft budget. Before, though, we never really did see that red line earnings on investment, so it's nice that it's finally big enough to actually even show as a piece of the pie. It's encouraging to make a little money on our cash flow money while we can help offset some of these increasing costs and the difficulties with revenue we're having. And this next slide just looks at fiscal year 24 to 25, a comparison of how much of the pie things are making up. So again, pretty obvious the shortcomings with state funding there. Part of that is this budget is based on a flat BSA. The other part is reduced student numbers that we've been talking about. The reduction from 468.6 students to 450 in this budget is significant, but then compounding that is budgeting for less intensive students that NDR sped director thinks that we'll have certified next year. Okay. So these are some other state funding scenarios, because I know you're probably wondering, okay, what if we don't have flat ESA funding? So in this, with everything else the same as far as the rest of the revenue and the expenditures, these are the scenarios of what some BSA, over the BSA funding scenarios from the state would do to our particular revenue, and then what our ending fund balance would be in those scenarios. So what I have budgeted is what is highlighted in green, a flat BSA, and that is 5,960 is our BSA currently in state statute. The next most likely would be the 300 or 340 over the BSA. And in those scenarios, you can see at the very top of this table is what our current state foundation funding is for fiscal year 24. So none of these scenarios, even the 680 over the BSA, would get us to even what our funding is this year. So that just shows you, even if we have a higher funding over the BSA, because of the decrease to our student numbers, we'll still, even if we have 680, whereas this year we have 340 over the BSA, if we have 680 next year, we still have less state funding than the student numbers we're projecting. So that's kind of hard. But yeah, these are the four most likely scenarios good for us to look at. And all of these scenarios, like I said, assume a 3.4 from the borough, because that's assuming all the rest of the revenue and expenditures in the draft budget would be the same. So then what it does to our ending fund balance, right, our beginning fund balance for this draft is 1,322,000 and change, but right in front of me. So this is what those scenarios would do, but keeping in mind, this is our first draft of the budget. We're still in negotiations. What we're budgeting on is the least for salaries that we anticipate paying, since it's our last offer. Certainly not going to be working backwards. But in this budget scenario, this would be the ending fund balances based on those state foundation funding scenarios. So coming back to the summary, total revenue in this first draft of the budget, 9.85 million. And we'll move on to expenditures, which are a total of $10,159,367 in this first draft of our budget. So we'll go over some increases first, and then we'll go over decreases, because those cuts of expenditures will help offset some of these increases. So hopefully we won't have to realize all these, right? The idea. Health insurance premiums are increasing 6.7%. We have heard from Book Education Health Trust, and that's what we've got from them. So that increases our portion of the premium that the district pays, as well as what our employees are paying. So that's, you know, everyone who's paying a share of the premium, it's going up 6.7%. And just for reference, the total spend for health insurance premiums by the district in fiscal year 24 is $808,810. So 6.7% on top of that is another $54,190. So that's significant. Property insurance increases approximately 10%, and liability insurance increasing 5% built into this budget. This is so much better than last year when we were going from fiscal year 23 to 24. Last year, you guys had a budget for a 55% increase to property insurance. So, you know, these are still significant increases that are affecting our budget, but happy that it's not what it was last year. Heating fuel and budgeting flat at $420,000, the same as fiscal year 24. It's been a much more wild winter, so we're definitely not reaching that this year. But even in fiscal year 23, when we had a very cold winter, the actual spend was $383,058. So that still leaves room for increased costs, even if we were putting increased costs on very cold winter. So I feel very safe keeping that at $420,000. I hope we don't have another crazy winter like that, but we do have to be prepared. Like I mentioned earlier, those PERS and TERS on behalf rates have increased for fiscal year 25, and that's great for our employees, all district employees, and are just offset as both a revenue and an expenditure, not money that we handle, but the state makes directly to retirement funds on behalf of the district as an employee benefit. So great for everybody for this year. We'll see what it does next year. Breaking the budget has increased 37%, but 37% is $13,500, so that's not insane. We are having an increase, though, to accommodate math curriculum for next year. Next year on the schedule is social studies, because you guys have been putting that off, but the curriculum team and admin have been talking about they still don't think that there's going to be standards for social studies, so it might be have to be put off again. I think you guys might talk about that next meeting. So we are budgeting for math, which is expensive, unfortunately. But I think Heather and Brad have already been talking about that and already formulating plans, and they've got the energy, and I'm sure they'll put the money to good use and be smart with it, and hopefully we can keep it within the budget. Erica did mention budgeting $60,000 for the curriculum. I only budgeted $50,000.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was like, oh. Well, yeah. So we are hopeful that we can stick within that budget and get curriculum that's going to work well for math. We have staff moving out of grants. We've been talking about this in budget discussion, and those grants are ending, so we have to then take that expenditure back into the general fund. The fiscal year 24 approximate value of all those staff is $319,316. So it's another increase in expenditures for our general fund budget. We have budgeted a 1% increase for the CBA for our classified staff, as well as budgeting for their step increases on the salary schedule. It's approximately budgeted right now at $95,000 increase in salaries alone for classified staff. An average of 4.2% salary increase for exempt staff is built into this budget, approximately $20,000 in increase to benefits. Certified salaries and benefit increase costs budgeted in this draft budget are based on the district's last offer, which Erica filled you guys in on. Negotiations are ongoing. The least that we are budgeting for anyone would be a 3.67% increase for any of the steps. And also we're accounting for step movement. We also have received advancement plans from teachers who have, you know, furthered their education and can even move over a column. So that's great and great benefit to them and to us. Getting more educated and increasing. Then also part of those negotiations, extra duty contract amounts are also based on the ongoing negotiations, so we're basing those off of our last offer as well. And then next slide. So Erica talked to it some, so I won't spend too much time on this, but we're budgeting based off the salary schedules and the benefits included in our last package offer given to ATP. And if we kept all the same staff, so we're just talking about the increases right now, if we kept all the same staff, that would be an estimated $361,538 in additional salary and percent benefits. That's the TERS, retirement, Medicare, tax, and workers' comp. Then also an estimated $46,957 increase from other benefits that she went over, and so I won't get into those, but other things that were offered in that package, an additional $9,000 for the top step in the salary schedule. And next, this is just a look at, I don't think Eric had the specific one earlier, because we're not applying a straight percentage on the entire salary schedule. This is what we're budgeting based on right now for fiscal year 25, the increases that these different steps would receive. We're also budgeting for the step movement for certified staff members within this schedule. And if you go to the next slide, you can see what those salaries would actually be. So the lowest salary that we're budgeting for a certified staff member right now is $50,854. And the highest is $91,603. We don't anticipate it being any lower than this fiscal year 25. So, and this is the best data that we have at this time. So that's what we're basing our certified staff salaries and benefits on in this draft budget. Okay, now we'll get into cuts. Because we have to offset all the mini increases to expenditures. So all departments district-wide reduce supplies, materials, travel, and service budgets. District office, we'll start there, reduced over 12% or $41,350 of transportation supplies and services. Unfortunately, though, however, our indirect cost recovery is also down. Indirect cost recovery is from revenue from grants. We can take an indirect rate of grant revenue for the administration of the grant, and it shows up on our books as a negative expense. So it's more like a revenue, but it shows up under expenditures as a negative expense under district administration support services. So that is kind of offsetting our reduction of that 12%. So then our true realized reduction for the district office is 6.4% or 17,000 because of the offset of the indirect recovery. We're anticipating $24,350 less in indirect cost recovery. A lot of grants are ending this year. We've been talking a lot about that. But yeah, lots of effects for those. Elementary school cut 30% or $10,350 in supplies and materials. Middle school cut 15% or $3,650 in supplies and materials. And high school cut 12% or $7,350 in supplies. They were more equitable on their cuts when I had curriculum built in with the schools that the curriculum was for, but I decided to remove curriculum because we then adjusted it for math and it was skewing the reductions that they are making to other things and supplies materials that they can purchase. So I moved curriculum over to the increases to expenditures so that we can see how much our schools are really reducing in supplies and materials to help offset budget increase, expenditure increases. Special education has a reduction in contracted services, which is 39% of their supplies, materials, travel and services budget, or $8,000. 39% is a lot higher. This is almost all of the contracted services are built into a special education grant, a title grant. And we just have a small portion built into the general fund. And so we were able to completely reduce it just by barely reducing contract services. And so that's why that looks very extreme of 39%, but it's $8,000. So it is fairly comparable to some of the other reductions. I'll wait to look back at it. Technology. That's okay, I'll get water. I'm talking too much. That's right. Probably everyone needed a brain break, right? We were on slide 14. Okay, so that was special education activities. We are absolutely looking for board input and community input on this. We know it's something important to people and do have things to say about it. In this first draft of the budget, we have put in a 11% reduction of supplies, materials, travel services, that part of expenditures. Or $28,000. This is equivalent to the entire middle school activities travel budget, not all middle school activities, but the travel for all the select committees. We've already received some feedback from the board about wanting to see different scenarios. So Jamie, Brad, and Eric and I will work on different scenarios of how to make cuts in the activities budget for the next draft of the budget. And if you guys have some more input for us tonight, please. But here, just looking at activities from fiscal year 24 to 25, these cuts, supplies, materials, and travel, but I just wanted to give you context that these are areas that are a little easier to cut in some ways, not easy if we're, you know, we've had middle school activity traveling and then we completely stop, but looking at salaries and benefits, it's increasing more than we're decreasing the supplies, materials, travel, and services. So it's still a larger activities budget, which is the case with all of our departments. So we're trying to offset raising costs as much as we can, but. Okay, yes, next slide. Oh, actually, will you go back to have another note? Salaries and benefits, you're probably like, who is that? That's extra duty, a portion of Jamie. So an extra duty is like coaches and assistant coaches, also subs for coaches, referees, all of that is, they're all in salaries and benefits. So it's not just one person making $257,000. That's a lot of coaches, a lot of people putting a lot of time and much more time than they're probably really compensated for. But. Okay, now we'll move on. Thank you, Mara. Expenditure cuts continued for the technology department. They have cut and realized a total reduction of 15% in supplies, materials, travel, and contracted services. This includes freshman laptop refresh being cut. That doesn't mean freshmen won't have laptops. It's just that the past practice has been that they get a new laptop and they use it for their 4 years of high school, and then it gets recycled down to middle and elementary kids so that it gets used for at least 10 years. But that, you know, high schoolers were getting newer machines since they're required to do a lot more for their classes. So we will be recycling what we have now. And John thinks that for a couple of years we can do that without feeling too many implications of it, especially because we did do a staff refresh this year. So those are being recycled down. So we have some newly recycled ones from staff that will help shore us up for a couple of years. But then after a couple of years, then we'd have to, if we had, you know, the state fixes their public education funding issues, then we could re-implement it or the cheaper like Chromebooks or something else. This also includes, also included in technologies, we have reduced $75,900. That was in fiscal year 24. That won't be in fiscal year 25 for the staff laptops. So those are only refreshed every 4 or 5 years. And we did it in fiscal year 24 since things really did look good during our winter budget revision with our student count and things. And it was time. So the fact that we could is great and puts our staff in a good situation for 5 years. They've got hopefully computers that work well, machines that allow them to do their job. Facilities and maintenance realized a 5.1% reduction in supplies, materials, and services. This is very significant when you're considering this. It's even after the increases to utility insurance costs can't control and are. So this is a total realized cut of $17,400. Yeah, and earlier when we were talking about all the increase into to expenditures, a lot of those impact that budget. So still realizing a 5.1% reduction in that area of expenditures is really great. And and will be felt. They'll be on bare minimum. This also includes a reduction to the aquatic center electricity that we're paying due to reduced usage of the facilities. So that's something that's been a discussion with the borough assembly and borough manager and parks and rec manager and the borough finance director, and is built into their first draft of their fiscal year 25 budget. that Parks and Rec is going to be paying $90,000 more in electricity. They built that in, stuff needed, so into her budget. So other reductions are that electricity budgeted for fiscal year 25 is $239,600 total, which is a decrease of $80,400 from fiscal year 24. It's not a total $90,000 less because we're also having to budget in a 3% increase to rates, which isn't an ordinance yet, but Jody thought would be coming down the pipeline, and we would, there would be an increase in fiscal year 25 to the electricity rates. They're budgeting for that. And then also this, the biggest and hardest one, a reduction in 4.33, so 4 1/3 certified teachers and 1 classified paraprofessional position out of this fiscal year 25 budget that we had in fiscal year 24. That's very large. I mean, we've gone through all the departments and we're trying to make cuts everywhere we can, but the majority of our budget is salaries and benefits, so we can really only do so much to cut out, cut expenditures in other areas, and what we do everything we can, but some areas that, yeah, when over 75% of the budget is salaries and benefits, ultimately, more cuts will be, next slide. So since we were just talking about that aquatic center electricity, I just wanted to give you guys a look. I think we might have shared this with you before. This is calendar year 23 utility costs for the gym and aquatic center. So the borough does pay a portion. They pay the aquatic center utilities, like regular electricity, water, sewer, and refuse for aquatic. We pay for the aquatic center boiler electricity, so that's what heats the pool water. That's been the past practice. And then also we've been paying for the community gym and craft room, utilities, water, sewer, electricity. So them taking over 90,000 of that aquatic center boiler electricity is almost half. And, you know, it also directly follows our reduction in the use of this facility by half, you know, we're reducing our use. Hopefully they can increase other programs and revenue and opportunity for other community members to use the facilities, and hopefully it'll help in those ways, but definitely helps our budget by cutting out electricity costs. Okay, thanks, Maura. So we've been talking about some of those staff pieces. This is a look at the staff that is budgeted into the fiscal year 25 draft budget. So we had 43 certified teacher positions in fiscal year 24, and we're only cutting 4 1/3 position, but 2 are also moving. Jamie has now been moved to an exempt contract, so that increased exempts by it from 9 to 10. And then 1 is a counselor position that we're not sure how will be filled. It's a hard to fill position, so we don't know if it'll be a certified, someone that would fall under the certified teachers CDA, or if it would be an exempt contract or what. So we've just got that as unclassified right now. But in this budget, we've got 36 2/3 certified teachers. 34 2/3 of those are funded out of the general fund in this draft budget, and 2 are funded, we're planning to fund out of grants. 36.02 FTE classified staff built into this budget. 31.46 are built into the general fund, this first draft budget. 4.56 are built into special revenue. All of those are food service staff. All food service staff is paid for out of the food service fund. 10 exempt staff. That's the superintendent, 2 principals, sped director, activities director, technology director, finance director, district administrative and school board support assistant, maintenance director, and food service director. 8.2 of these FTE are budgeted in the general fund, this draft budget, and 1.8 we are planning to fund out of special revenue, so that's grants, so that's food service, the USDA scales grant that Carly just got. She's been able to write a portion of her salary into there so that food service doesn't have to pay all of her salary and benefits. Indian Ed, a portion of Jamie's under there. Title 6B, a portion of our SPED director, Cindy Fry, is built into that. and Title I-C migrant grant portion of Heather and Carly are built into there. And then also the one FTE unclassified counselor position that we don't know where will fall, but we are planning to hire for. This is, we're going to look at expenditures as a total overview in two ways. First, by function and then by object. Function is like the goal of, right, the goal of the expenditure. So whether it's salaries and benefits or supplies or travel, what is the goal of it? Is it instruction? Is it activities? Is it district administration? So the by function, 37.6% of our expenditures are instruction, 17% is special education, 15.1% is operations and maintenance, facilities and maintenance, 8.4% is support services instruction, that is like library, so our librarians and our counselors, also their supplies and materials, also our tech department is under support services instruction. They aren't always like directly instructing, but they're directly supporting instruction. So it's support services instruction. Big part of the instruction team. Then another, the next biggest one is 4.8%, and that's student activities. The next largest is 4.1% district administration. And after that, it's 3.4% for district administration support services. That's the finance office. And we'll look at the next slide, just comparing fiscal year 24 and fiscal year 25 pie charts to kind of look at where money is being spent by function comparably in fiscal year 24, the winter revision versus our first draft of the fiscal year 25 budget. So SPED has increased, whereas regular instruction has just decreased, and that is because all four of the certified positions that are being cut in this draft budget are all regular instruction coded, and none of them are SPED. This draft budget scenario. You can see that facilities and maintenance makes up a smaller piece of the pie than it previously did, which is probably largely in part to the borough taking over, possibly taking over a portion of the utilities for the aquatic center, which is being proposed in their budget. Next we'll look at expenditures by object code. So the largest portion of the pie is certified salaries. The next largest is employee benefits. And then the third largest is non-certified salaries. Fourth is 6.5%. That's energy. So that's both heating fuel and electricity, energy. Salaries and benefits make up the largest portion of our budget still. And looking at the next slide, overall, it's actually more of our expenditures than it used to be when you're looking at percentage-wise. So, those increased health premium, health insurance premiums and increased salaries and benefits, even though we're cutting people, still a larger portion of our budget and this draft budget is still people, which is important because they are. Yeah, they're the ones doing it all. Let's see. So the next slide, we're just looking back at the summary here. Next, we're going to be looking at fund balance. So I've said it before, but those of you who haven't been tuning in the whole time or need a reminder, it's been a long presentation. I am anticipating the beginning and ending fund balance being lower than is being presented here. I'm using the fiscal year 24 winter budget revision. I will be presenting a spring budget revision to the fiscal year 24 budget at the May meeting. I plan to present that. And then at that time, I will be able to update this. But in this draft of the budget, our ending fund balance is 1 $18,702. About 250 of that is going to be estimated prepaid already. That's about what it is every year. Our prepaid expenses that we pay ahead of time in June or May, like insurance, you have to pay ahead of time. So that leaves a fund balance that's used in the state calculation, and that is actual money moving forward of $768,702. So moving to the next slide, we can see kind of where our ending fund balance for these fiscal years have been. We're budgeting right now for an ending fund balance after taking out prepaids for fiscal year 24 of $1,072,235. But I do anticipate that being lower after my spring revision. But right now, that's 10.66% of fiscal year 24 expenditures. Then we've got budgeted for fiscal year 25 an ending fund balance of, like I had said previously, the $768,702. That is 7.6% of expenditures. So the fund balance goes quick when you use it. And when you use it, it would be very hard to ever build it back up, because that would mean you would have to have more revenue than you have expenditures. So that's not something we can really bet on happening. If it happens, that's great and a happy accident, but not something we can bet on and not something we want to build our budget just hoping for. So this is a, next slide, this is a fiscally responsible and conservative budget that supports board goals, and I'd really welcome input from the board and suggestions, questions.
Okay, thank you, Shannon.
Questions.
Hey.
Can you tell me what the grant positions are that are ending that are resulting in $319,000?
Yes. We have a preschool grant this year that is a full preschool teacher for salary and benefits funded out of there, and also almost a full FTE of paraprofessionals that work in the preschool classroom are budgeted in there. That's huge. Then we also have CLSD. I can't remember off the top of my head. I wish I had that.
Comprehensive literacy.
Yeah, I just don't have how much is built into that budget. It's a portion of a person, a portion of a reading interventionist, but it's not a full one. We're hoping to build in a little more in a budget revision of that grant, save a little more money, but it'll be depend on how. We're mostly using that grant for professional development and travel, and for professional development, and so we're hoping some travel end up cheaper than we budgeted for, and we can maybe write a little more of that reading interventionist into that grant, but it's, I think, less than 0.5 FTE.
So that 319,000 then gets absorbed into the general fund?
Yeah.
Or from the general fund, I guess. Okay. And can somebody give me a very brief...
Sorry, we also had, the other one was a full FTE for a sixth grade teacher.
Okay.
That was ARP, ARPA, COVID grant that is ending this year. The general fund is the other piece.
Can you remind me, the preschool, that was before my time on the board, is that required now of public school? No, we're not required to offer it.
No, we opted into it a couple of years ago. It's been an integrated program focused with our preschool special ed teacher and and it kind of has same age peers, and then it was meant to help offset some of her crazy schedule of running around to the various preschools they have and bring them into the school. The goal is they want districts to have them. We all want to have quality preschool, whether it's ours or outside the school. But the 0.5 ADM, there's an ability to apply for that. No one has gotten through, except Anchorage has gotten through the process for it, which is something that we're all advocating for it to become less ridiculous. Like, it's the most
funding
difficult. It's the most difficult piece of
Is that the one funding that they required a letter from Head Start?
That's the grant that we wrote.
Okay.
That's the other grant that we did write.
Okay. We tried to get a different preschool grant for fiscal year 25 so that those costs wouldn't have to be realized in the general fund.
Okay.
Doesn't look like we're getting it.
A bureaucratic issue with a consultation requirement with Clinkett and Haida Head Start. That part was not the part that was the problem. It's the time frame that they gave and the requirements of Clinkett Haida for their processes. They were like, We didn't even know this was a thing, and it doesn't work for our system. They've been great trying to work with us. Like, we're still, I'm actually filing an appeal tomorrow, and we've been working with them to secure that consultation agreement. They are supportive. They just have hoops they have to jump through. So,
He just wasn't thinking.
The application process.
Yeah. So tomorrow, the 17th.
And then do we have any idea, I mean, looking into the magical crystal ball, how far out do we look at like pre-K numbers, not talking about pre-K program in our school, but just projecting student numbers moving forward as we're considering negotiations being a factor in this budget, you know,
thinking about what kind of
incoming students. Yeah. 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 Do we, how we don't keep
kindergarten registration is coming up. So that's important.
Right. So we know our incoming kinders, but how far down do we kind of keep tabs?
Well, we get the best numbers that we can. Heather's got some. You what?
So she's got 25
or 26.
Are we going down?
So another year.
Because this year's incoming kinders, that's a small class compared to what we've seen the last few years.
Yes, I think you're estimating 22.
Yeah.
Well, that is tiny.
Mm-hmm.
22 for this year. And 23 for the following year.
Okay.
Not much better.
And then how big is this in your class for fiscal year 25 that we would be seeing?
39.
Thank you. I know it's on a slide here.
Okay. I think that's it for me for now.
Okay.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Else? Thank you, guys.
No, I don't think
so. Okay.
Okay. It is permitted if anybody from the audience would like to comment or have a question. You're welcome to come up and ask. Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on then. I'll make a motion to approve the draft fiscal year 2025 budget as presented. Could I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Jay. Any further discussion?
Yeah, remind me how much further we go in the budget discussion before. At this point, it's a draft.
Correct.
But we're not agreeing that this is the
final adopted.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just being passed as a draft because there is the statute that says we have to submit.
Yeah.
Into the 5 years. So even though it's draft form, it's just
fulfilling that requirement.
Yeah.
Filling that requirement, and then only piece that they really have to worry about is the little contribution, but we're supposed to submit a budget to that, right?
So that would be the reason, you know, and then yep. Hopefully we can solidify it more with any information from the state or how negotiations end up working out. So, okay. Motion's been made and seconded for the first draft of the fiscal year 2025 budget. Mara, can you call the roll?
Yes. Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Gary Case?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to 17.4, which is just informational about activity travel absences. This was kind of a follow-up discussion on the March 19th meeting regarding school absences, which we kind of addressed during, I think, Ms. Kahn's report to the board. But we had any additional information about, I guess it was more extracurricular activity. Excuse me. We talked about just private, I guess, travel, personal travel.
Yeah.
Sorry.
When it closed down, it closed all of it.
Oh, no.
I just have to.
Okay.
This is the back door.
Secret place.
Do not want me anymore.
There it is. Yeah, I think there was some discussion, you know, general discussion last time looking at it, and then you guys had some questions.
We were just kind of curious.
Just curious, wanted a little bit of follow-up about, you know, any difference or what it looks like and how things are coded and by kind of learning a little bit more about how secondary activities, because they are school, if they're school activities, mm-hmm. they're sort of,
this is kind of interesting,
office, you know, excused, but you guys just were wondering about numbers of days. And then of course we have some coaches that are teachers and school staff and some that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So then just kind of thinking about, as Shannon was referencing, you know, everything has to be included in those costs, like thinking about activities, what is that? What are all the costs? So subs and no subs, and in addition to just the other pieces. So this was this year.
Those are just overall statistics. We do have 4 students that have seen over 20 student travel activity absences.
That's an interesting variation between 4 to as high as 14
mm-hmm.
for one activity.
Oh, how many times out?
Yeah.
That's because swim and cross country participate in the summertime.
That's true. They
before school starts.
Do they even get in a trip before?
Actually, the first meet is like first week of school, so it's all the meets are during school.
Yeah.
So practicing.
All
the summer. Practicing.
Yeah. Practicing. But they're still traveling, yeah, during school year.
But this doesn't account for private. Or non-school.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you guys were kind of wondering about. You were looking at the numbers and mm-hmm. thinking, oh, well, those are, I mean, there's some high flyers, but also, you know, and it's like, but those don't include. And it's not that we're saying these are bad things to travel for. Yeah. It's just numbers.
It's just interesting to look at, to see the variation between activities.
Yeah.
Because
these
are excused absences.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. part of them because they're.
They're considered present those days.
Mm-hmm.
At what point, I can remember that the threshold was for chronic absenteeism, was it 10%?
10%.
So some of our activities are putting kids in chronic absenteeism.
I think your difference too, I mean, just even our own experience with our children being in club versus school is that they usually come back from a trip and they've done their homework or they've done their schoolwork versus we didn't always have that experience with club. Just, yeah, because it's carved out to the day
sure.
as a school activity.
Thinking about swim club and
basketball,
and things like that.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay, we'll move on to our Teacher Appreciation Week, which is coming up not too far away, May 6th through the 10th. Usually, we do a staff-wide breakfast on, and we're proposing it to be May 10th, if that works in people's schedule.
I will be out of town.
As well.
Oh no,
ma'am.
I'll be here.
Should be.
I don't think I'm going anywhere. I don't know. I'm looking at my calendar. I'll be here.
Katie never leaves.
I don't.
Is there a day? I mean, will both of you be gone the entire week?
I will be gone. Yeah.
I think I'll leave Wednesday, come back on Sunday. So it's.
Oh. Okay. We'll soldier on.
We'll do it.
Okay, so we'll plan on the 10th. Okay, any additional comments from board members? Upcoming dates and media announcements. Like we just said, it's Teacher Appreciation Week is May 6th through the 10th. I think we've already seen some emails going out for other days of appreciating staff by email. And then we've got, it sounds like baseball this weekend, as well as coming on Sunday evening to see some of the art that students have been working on. And just check the website for an updated calendar. Future agenda items? Okay. No?
CEE.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to do it under other new business. So we could have done an amendment to the agenda, but I just decided to put it here. I would like to make a motion to join the Coalition for Education Equality. If I could have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
So it's 2,000 prorated for this year, and that's 25%. So it's 8,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then is there any commitment? Like, can we, like if Dunleavy steps out and all of a sudden we have a governor who's properly funding our schools, and maybe this isn't such a need.
I think it's something we consider on a yearly basis, like any member.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
So we're just voting on this year, sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I think they're, like she said, they're trying to look at their fee structure for different sizes of schools.
Less expensive for.
So it may not be that way even next year, you know, looking at what the cost might be after this year, so.
I think the advantage is being part of the very likely lawsuit against the state.
So this is just for the 2,000 for the remainder of the year, not for next year?
Correct.
Yeah, I have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Probably in August or something.
Yeah, when it renews. Okay. All right, motion's been made and seconded. Mara, can you call the roll?
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Mary Case?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Okay, next we'll recess to executive session to discuss the matters of immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the district, more specifically, certified teacher negotiations.
Thank you for the evening.